You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is liberty. Each week, we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty. Rock and roll.
Hey there, Liberty lovers. This is Mark Clare of the Lions of Liberty podcast, where we strive to bring you great conversations about the ideas of liberty 3 days a week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Check us out at lionsofliberty.com.
Hey guys, this is Roger Paxton, and if you're fed up with the government running every single aspect of your life, but you're not listening to the Lava Flow podcast yet, then what's wrong with you? Check us out at thelavaflow.com, or just go back to sucking up to the government. The Lava Flow Podcast, striking the root every single episode.
I want to tell you about our sponsor. We are taking sponsors now, and I just want to say thank you to everybody. 812 Farms couldn't be happier about being a sponsor of this program. You guys have gone above and beyond. Like I said in the last episode, I couldn't imagine anybody would actually go and talk to a hop farm in Columbus, Indiana. But you guys have bought home hops. Home brewers have been buying hops like crazy from 812 Farms in Columbus, Indiana, and liking their Facebook page.
Hopefully ordering permafrost at the tap down on Mass Ave.
Yep. So thank you guys so much for supporting our advertiser. They supply home brewers and commercial breweries with locally grown hops, and they're in the process of starting a destination brewery down there in Bartholomew County. They're using all Indiana-grown ingredients, and they want to build a brew pub that honors the farmers of Indiana. And they're going to build a wedding barn, an event center, a restaurant, a brewery, an indoor hydroponics vegetable garden, and overnight lodging over the course of the next few years. So they're doing big things down there in Columbus, Indiana, and right now they're doing hop sales and beer infusion events. With bars, so if you own a bar, then please hit them up. If you're a patron to a bar here in Central Indiana, please get with your favorite bar and get with 812 Farms. You guys are the best. Thank you so much for supporting them, and we thank you for everything that you guys do to support us.
We are supported by listeners like you. Donate per month or make a one-time donation through PayPal or Patreon at WeAreLibertarians.com.
Welcome to We Are Libertarians. I am your host, Chris Spangle. We Are Libertarians brings you all of the irreverence modern politics deserves. Think of us as Natural Review had a baby with Mad Magazine. We explain to you what the hell is happening in our world today and how we can fix it by thinking differently. This is a podcast brought to you by the We Are Libertarians Network, so please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, share this episode with friends, and support us through PayPal or Patreon at WeAreLibertarians.com. We're supported by listeners like you, so $1 per episode by pledging $5 a month helps us grow. We're always taking your questions and comments via email at editor@wearelibertarians.com. And with me, as always, is my co-host, Greg Lenz. Greg, how are you?
Christopher, I'm wonderful, buddy. How are you?
Oh, I'm well. I'm glad you're doing well.
Yeah, I had a brief death. Had a brief social media death. Didn't realize how much just taking 4 days off would result in family members getting phone calls, texts, questions from all over the state, on my on how I was feeling. But it is an honor that my I guess you could say life, my living status.
You're well
my
loved.
Status is I'm humbled by the amount of people that reached out, and so I love you all. It's been a stressful few weeks since we've had the spring break, and I know Spangle, we both just have had a jam-packed May and April.
Yeah, I work for a radio show closely tied to the Indianapolis 500, so I'm very tired today.
Yeah, I'm so glad you still wanted to do it, and so I'm looking. We'll keep it brief. We'll stay on topic. We'll rustle the shit out of some jimmies of our guest hosts, and it'll be a good time by all.
Now, if you're a new listener, and thank you so much. There are so many new listeners. We're adding about 1,000 new listeners a month, which is incredible. We've hit 8,000 listeners a month. I don't know where you're all coming from, but we appreciate you being here. We appreciate you sticking around, because if you look at the numbers, I mean, clearly a lot of you are staying with us. And we thank you so much for that. And
we will not be sending you back.
We will not send you back if you don't send us back. But if you send us back, that's an act of war, and we will attack you. Just like I did to poor Alex Merced and C. Michael Pickens. Now, thank you so much to everybody who is new to the show. And, you know, this first 20 minutes, we just get to know each other. We gather around my kitchen table here in Indianapolis, Indiana. We have a rotating cast of about 15 to 20 people that come on the show. It is always Greg and I, almost always Greg and I, you know, except when I get divorced and take a few months off, or Greg, you know, decides to delete his social media accounts.
I didn't miss any time. I didn't miss any episodes. I planned it in a window.
I knew that you'd be back, and everybody was worried. And I wasn't
going to miss this week, because originally we had intended to bash the Libertarian Party. And for those that know me, know that there are a few things that are more like a favored pastime than bashing the Libertarian Party for me than doing so.
I love the Libertarian Party, Greg, not as much.
I love it. Sometimes,
no, you don't.
It's like a family member that just gets under. It's like my Aunt Donna.
Yes.
It's a lot like my Aunt Donna.
Yes.
Except it doesn't jack off associate pastors.
Now, our favorite black man, Harry, is here. Harry, how are you doing?
Going good. A little bit tired, but
I thought that was Abdul.
No. Two black guys in a row. Two podcasters of color, 2 weeks in a row. It's such a great honor to be so diverse.
Yeah, just make sure he understands that I'm the token black guy for this show. He needs to go get his own show and his own website.
Now, originally I had a hilarious skit planned. All week long I've been posting memes about Greg's disappearance, and so I was going to replace Greg tonight with Harry playing Greg, like the Darrens in The Bewitched, where nobody mentions that it's too...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to throw off your thing. It had just been a long week, and I was like, oh, getting replaced on wall would just additionally be insult to injury.
We weren't going to actually replace you. We were going to have
diversity quotas and all, I would understand.
We were going to have you walk in and go, what the hell's happening here? But I thought it'd be funny if very clearly not Greg Lins. How are you tonight, Greg?
And I was just like, hey, I'm going good. You know, sit there doing things on my phone. Hold on. It'd be better if I had like a video. Like I sit there like,
right.
Like I'm on my...
You want to switch hats?
you want
some mayonnaise?
Yeah. I actually was going to prepare the Greg Lynn summoning kit. I had that in the basement ready to go. So like the golf balls, you know, like Braves hat.
It's hard though because Harry's whiter than I am.
Harry is much whiter than
like
you.
Like Harry spends his evenings going around with his putter in his house in a smoking jacket, smoking $9 cigars and sipping on Hendrix gin or single malt scotch that's 12 years or older.
18, okay.
I know, you have Macallan 18.
18,
you're the whitest guy I've ever seen.
Thank you.
Now Harry's a new father, congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you.
Gunther?
Yeah, Gunther's doing fine. Gunther came a little early, but it's okay.
Yeah. Yep, and everything's going well since the surprise birth.
Oh, yeah. Everything's going good. Let's see. We're going through all the different milestones up there in the NICU, but, you know, Gunther's doing good. Taking every good vibe that you guys are sending our way.
Or prayers.
We'll take vibes, though. And Bitcoin.
How original.
Yeah. I mean...
I'm spiritual. I'm not really into organized religions.
I'm going to sit and meditate positive thoughts towards you. So you're praying.
I went to Burning Man and had the most religious experience ever. Yeah. Have you been to Coachella?
And if you've never been, you just don't get it. And it's hard to explain to you.
Now, one thing that both Harry and Greg have in common is their love of white women. And we happen to have one here tonight, and that is Kat Anagnos. Kat, how are you doing?
Hello. Mildly uncomfortable, but I feel great. Thank you.
Is it the racism that's triggering you, Snowflake?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Oh, please.
I don't know.
You're
okay. Non-binary, so when you see white and black sitting across from each other, I'm sure that triggers you.
She's from Elkhart. Stop it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm non-binary, like gender fluid. Something like that.
Yeah.
So just a lot of fluids are going on.
Yeah, you're not into, you know, false choices.
No.
So you date a lot of black guys?
Or
girls?
Well.
We're judging.
No.
She doesn't assume gender.
Yeah, I don't
She dates a lot of epidermally hued individuals that are distinct.
Yes. Have you assumed your own gender? Have you found that out?
Not yet. I'm taking a class at school that's going to tell me what it is.
Okay.
Or help me get there.
So. Now, Kat Anagnos has a very familiar last name. She is the little sister of Chloe Anagnos. And we are so excited that you showed up tonight.
Yeah, I've heard that my sister doesn't show up.
Ever.
Ever.
And she's got wicked gas.
Yeah, like, no, she smells.
And she's a very classy, like, woman. Her social mm-hmm. media presence is super classy. And so the fact that she has arguably, like, sarin gas level, like, flatulence.
Oh, and armpits.
It's shocking. Yeah, and she doesn't, like, she gets all dolled up for these competitions, and then it's, you know, like an Old Navy sweatshirt from 96.
It's like if you've watched
some holy mom jeans.
If you've watched
and no deodorant.
But it's like if you watch Pumping Iron, where Arnold is, you know, it's this weightlifting movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Lou Ferrigno, who played the Hulk, and he's like trying to psych him out right before the contest. Like, I think that's what Chloe does. She just doesn't wear deodorant, so she walks by and hits him with that Greek armpit. Smells like dying lamb and onions and garlic.
See Tiki?
Yeah. Oh. So, is this who's having heroes? Now, is it heroes or
gyro?
Gyro.
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 Haven't
not,
you seen
it's
my big fat Greek wedding?
Yeah.
That's some real life.
No, that movie, I kid you not, a lot of people, when they find out that we're Greek, they're like, oh, have you ever seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding? Like,
no, what's that?
Is that like real? And I always say, yeah, 100%. Nothing is overdone. Everything in that is true.
Now, I saw it on my bachelor party. So my...
It's uncomfortable.
That's a total Abdul move.
So my brother invited himself to be my best man. Mm-hmm. When I told him I was getting married, he goes, oh, cool, I'll be your best man. And I said, well, I guess so, bro. Total Bittner move.
Well, your brother, it's one of those things you're going to regret not doing it. My mom made the mistake of not making her sister her maid of honor. Mm-hmm. That's having the trump card and ultimate high ground the rest of your life trotted out at any family event necessary.
So we went to Iaria's Italian restaurant, and then we were going to go see
Iaria's?
Iaria, whatever it is. And then so we went to this great little Italian restaurant, and then we were going to go see a comedy show. We show up to Crackers, and nobody was there. We didn't want to see the comedian. So I was home by 9 p.m. watching My Big Fat Greek Wedding with my future ex-wife. So good night. Didn't even get laid, Greg.
Your future ex? What? Whoa.
Didn't even get laid on the night of my bachelor
party. It's probably because of the movie choice, honestly.
It's probably because of the wife
since
choice.
Eric got the opportunity to be the chairman of your, death.
Yeah.
Which is marriage.
Yep.
For your next death, your brief intermittent experience with death, let me plan something fun.
Yes. Oh, if I ever were to get married again, the We Are Libertarians bachelor party would be so epic.
Oh, I would get together with Ted Western, and we would put together a... Actually, anymore, I'd get together with Jeremiah Morrill and just say, have at it, Hoss.
Oh, dude. He is... Have you listened to the
He's
Boss
Charlie
Hog...
He's Charlie Sheen.
Have you listened to the Boss Hog of Liberty?
I have it downloaded. I just downloaded it right now, updated.
He is out of control.
He is. He senses those pending nuptials coming down on himself.
He's having a good time, and it's Indy to My 500 month. And as you recently said about Jeremiah with the 500, Indianapolis 500 is the greatest race. You have to make a trip here to see it. There is no sporting event like it.
It's left turns for 4 hours in May heat at 90 degrees.
It's unreal.
How dare you?
It's the largest single-day sporting event in the world. It's just incredible. Chloe, I keep calling you Chloe now because it's like...
So it's been fun. Thanks for listening to We Are Libertarian. Now,
can we call you Katniss?
No, I hate that.
Okay.
Now, Kat, you went out to the Indianapolis... Awesome. You've been out to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway now. What did you think of it?
Yeah, so first time ever we went, and it was very loud, obviously. A lot of people thought that I didn't care because I have kind of just, what is it, RBF, resting bitch face.
Do you?
Yeah, surprisingly.
You give me more of like a zoned out stoner face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people think I do hard drugs.
Super hard drugs.
Or the women. Canker sores right here.
I don't have those, do I? Yeah, I do.
A little bit of meth mouth.
A little bit. But no, it was a great time. Spangle, we were supposed to be there for like 3 hours, and we were supposed to leave at like 2 o'clock. We did not leave until 6:30 because Spangle took me around every part of this track and gave me the history.
You should do it all at once.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like I invented Indy. Oh, I almost called it NASCAR. I feel like I invented the racetrack. I feel like I own it.
I'm sorry that I bored you
with history,
my French,
and culture.
You are encyclopedic because I would have never guessed that you loved the race so much, and because you don't really care. Like, you know about football. Like, you joke that you don't, but you follow it close enough to know
exactly.
And basketball too, but like the track, it is out of nowhere. You are you are just an expert. At extreme levels of knowledge.
David Donaldson or whatever that guy's name is from the track. Like, only Jeremiah Morrill surpasses me in autism, and that's
he's like Rain Man savant. Like, he's going around showing you where a crack was made on the asphalt in 1938.
I mean, it was very interesting. I swear.
Honestly, it's like, it's better than taking it as a history course at Ball State.
Like, that's very true.
You should get credit for it.
Yeah,
I should.
Jeremiah is trying. I don't know if Jeremiah is lonely or what, but he keeps trying to make Newcastle happen. We're not moving to Newcastle ever.
It hasn't been relevant since Steve Alford was out there.
It hasn't been relevant since the Klan ran it in 1927.
When it was great.
Okay.
And Jeremiah spent all this time trying to bring it back to greatness.
And he keeps trying to make the Indianapolis 500 great again, which Doug Bowles is doing fine. But you've never actually been out there.
I've played golf, and I've driven in a golf cart on through turn four until the police were called. They left when they were doing the road course.
Right.
They were building it, but during it construction, they had left a gate open. And I looked at my buddy, who's a lobbyist downtown. We were playing in his high school's fundraiser, and I said, if we get in trouble, this will be the greatest story ever. And he goes, let's go. And so we just took off on our golf cart, made it into the turn four, and then the pro we forgot was ahead of us, and he had called the clubhouse to call the police. So they brought us back and let us finish, and we finished tied for second. But we blocked up everybody for 40 minutes. So I've driven on it, and Jeremiah hasn't, so I'll always have that over.
Yeah.
I used to work at the Speedway, and I worked out there for 5 years, and we'd park on the road course, and I was always kind of one of the last people to leave. So I'd be at the end of the road course, and then I'd have to drive to the other end of the road course to get out. I'd do 80 through there in my Chevy Cobalt. It was great.
Why wouldn't you?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
Cavalier.
It's designed for that.
Never
and
Cavalier.
You have so many friendships. It always shocks me. Like, you, so many people you know, like, obviously from libertarianism, sure, and politics, but you have this whole other segment of people you know from your race years.
Oh, if I go out there, it's like, hey, man, how are you doing? Hey, how are you? I'm like, Chick McGee calls me the undercover mayor.
Yeah.
Because I know so many people.
You're the unelected mayor of Indianapolis.
Unwanted, unelected.
It is. It's
well, that isn't going to earn you any brownie points.
Getting a C now.
I think we need to, let's have a conversation with a cat.
Oh, God.
Okay, Kat, you work for me.
Yes.
Hun.
Means you will be nice to me.
Hun.
I thought the whole point of this was everyone just makes fun of each other and we kind of talk about politics.
No?
Nope. No? No?
This is a life lesson for you.
That's what castmates do, not interns.
You are an intern.
You people.
No, I'm the secretary general.
Still an intern.
Still a secretary.
So,
general.
Of defense or whatever. Secretary.
So let me explain to you how this is going to go. You were an intern for the summer for We Are Libertarians. You're also interning for me where I work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cheesecake Factory. No, I'm kidding.
She's at the Cheesecake Factory. She
make the best little pies.
So you will be nice to me, and you will only make fun of the people that are on the show unless I say it's okay.
Well, I don't know them that well, so I feel like they might be like, oh my God, that was so mean, and then get like really mad.
We are really sensitive. Mm-hmm. Things offend us quite a bit. Right. Harry and I, especially, you know, given I'm Cherokee, and you know, he is three-fist Cherokee.
Yeah.
Blackfoot, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, one of those people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, we just would appreciate it that you not do any racial humor, you know, or any ageism.
Yeah.
Or anything about our genders, because we would prefer you not assume them.
Okay.
And we'd also like you to suck up to me.
Okay.
Dear leader, most holy supreme allied commander of freedom.
Oh.
It should have been in your pamphlet.
I didn't. Somebody said the printer was broken, so.
It's a Google Doc. You could have scrolled it.
No.
Your job is to fix the printer. No, it has been fun.
Freshen this up, hon.
It has been fun having an intern cat around.
She's good. She takes a joke really well.
She's very smart. She's very funny. And she doesn't know anything. She's a complete idiot. I mean, and not dumb.
Not idiot. Noob.
She's just completely ignorant to the world.
Mm-hmm.
I had her convinced earlier that self-deprecation was actually self-defecating humor.
In a way, it kind of is, because you're shitting on yourself.
Yes.
which is a Donnie Baker joke, but the fact that I got her to believe it until you guys got here and laughed.
That was real?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
She believed it for a good 10 minutes.
I don't know. Like, right. He's got that, like, I don't even know.
Authoritative demeanor.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And so...
leader of all libertarians, period.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so Kat is... Kat, until last week, had never grocery shopped by herself.
Nope.
But do your parents own a restaurant?
Yeah. So they do the shopping, and I just, like, eat all the food.
You're totally the youngest kid.
I am. No, for sure. Wow. But I kind of consider myself the youngest kid mixed with, like, a Harry Potter, like... stuffed in, like, you know, under the stairs, like, really unwanted.
Sheltered, yeah.
Sheltered,
that is
like
so
that.
Not true. The way
no,
your
I'm
mom
kidding.
loves, like, likes everything you do on
Natalie,
social media.
Natalie yeah. is now liking everything I do on social media.
Yeah.
She's fully woke.
She is. She's aware. And Spangle and I were having this conversation.
She's pretty hot.
So, well, there's that. But also, my mom...
Do you think Dean and her make out?
No. Because my dad's kind of like Chloe. Like, he's got that Greek smell.
Like tzatziki,
yeah. You know what I'm saying?
2-3 day old tzatziki,
yeah,
you know,
something like that.
Kind of hot and, you know,
it's just gross,
pungent,
something like that.
So no, Natalie seems like your biggest fan.
She is, and it's because I got my trolling ability from my mom. Because right. here's the thing: if you're friends with my mom on Facebook, you would think that she is an alt-right, crazy Christian conservative, like psycho, because she shares all of those, you know,
conservative new
fake news stories,
yeah, conservative outposts
come from like a website with all ads, you know,
right.
that are probably
Hanitized.
Not real.
Mm-hmm.
One like yes. one prey.
Yes, yes. Right.
Lots of eagles.
Mm-hmm. And
we have the Kenyan birth certificate we recently acquired from Sheriff Joe documenting President Obama's
right, yes.
birth.
Live Q&A with Jerome Corsi at 9 p.m. tonight.
Yes, yes.
Exactly.
And a lot of people defriend my mom on Facebook because they think that she actually believes the thing that she shares. And it wasn't until I started being friends with Spangle, I think my mom is just a really good troll. Because
she is.
I don't think she believes any of the stuff she does, but I do know, I hear her, like, when I'm home, I hear her laughing quietly to herself as she's fighting with one of her, like, coworkers. Yeah, and she'll, like, say something outrageous. Like, somebody could post on Facebook, like, one of her friends could say, "So proud of my daughter, she got a 4.0 in kindergarten," whatever. And my mom could say, "This is why we need to ban all Muslims from this country." Like... And just like go, just like go.
They're ruining this country with algebra.
Yeah, with algebra. And like, you'd think that she's being serious, but I hope she's not, but I really don't think she is.
If she's laughing to herself, she's totally not.
She's shitposting.
If she's screaming awesome. Or like, you know, pounding her fist, then that's when she's Alex Jones, like, you know, got the water filters on the shower heads. Like Gary.
I posted something that I do, right, I do mostly believe.
You're supposed to bathe in fluoride. Okay.
Yeah.
I do mostly think that Bernie Sanders is a freeloading loser, but I went really hard on him today on Facebook, and I did it just because I wanted... comments. I wanted shares.
Some days you just have to throw a wrench in the gears.
Right.
Like, some days you're just like, you know what? Everybody's been too settled.
Right.
There's been too much peace. Mm-hmm. That old Jew in Vermont watches it.
Yeah. So I was going to say, you said there's like so much, too much peace. I'm like, yeah, besides the recent concert bombing, besides these other things.
I mean, that's ISIS.
Right, yes.
You know, that hurt. Old albums just, you know, was better, but oh, sorry.
ISIS or Ariana Grande?
Oh.
I haven't liked anything she's done since Trump sent her back, to be honest. I only liked her when she was, you know, someone that didn't get deported.
Yeah.
I think she's Italian.
So basically,
whatever. Let's sort the mail. I'm not impressed.
Too loud.
I've heard Sinatra.
So I wrote, listening, and this is a true fact, Bernie Sanders got into it with the Trump administration official today on C-SPAN, and it was beautiful. Listening to C-SPAN, Bernie Sanders, actually I was listening, truth be told, I was listening to POTUS Politics.
Which is the best.
On SiriusXM, which is so good. It's like worth the $12 for the internet account just for POTUS Politics, because you actually get information about politics and you learn stuff as opposed to anything you read on cable news or anywhere else.
And it does what it would take an hour to do on your own.
Absolutely. It's so good. So I was listening to that, and they played this clip. You know, they just played a Senate hearing committee clip for 10 minutes, and it was riveting. And that's the kind of stuff that us political nerds love, so check it out. Bernie Sanders had the gall to count off the amount of cars and homes the Waltons have. Sanders owns 3 homes, didn't have a job until 40 when he became a leech on taxpayers by serving in the government. Meanwhile, the Waltons have helped employ more Americans than anyone else in our country. Laughable. 8 shares, 104 likes, 20 comments, including Andrew.
He worked some jobs before he was 40. He just didn't make a successful career out of any of them, so that's a false and commonly used narrative against him.
Michael, you're a cuck. So, I mean, am I wrong?
No, that's cuckold behavior.
Right.
And, you know, he's really a Hank Hill. If Tanner Perdue were here, he'd say, what? I'm a cuck?
So, yeah, he's a leech on society, and how dare him question the Waltons, who created Walmart, which is one of the biggest and most successful corporations of all time.
Yeah. And despite what a lot of people say about Walmart, Walmart tries to do a lot to actually do help the poor out.
Yeah. They would love it if they didn't have so many regulations to wade through. They'd pay people $15 an hour, and they're so big, their health insurance would be dirt cheap to cover their employees.
You know, they've gone through, they make cheap internet service, cheap phone service. Cheap medicine, cheap eye care. That's even where I got my cheap glasses from. It was cheaper to go to Walmart to get glasses and go to my, like, my health insurance.
Well, here's the thing about Walmart is that if Walmart didn't exist, because of the shrinking economy and the punishment on the lower class because of things like the war on drugs, NAFTA, like, Walmart has been a godsend for a lot of these communities. Mm-hmm. And yes, they don't pay their people they pay their people what fair labor.
They actually, you know, they pay like $13 an hour, and a lot of jobs pay $9. Like,
right,
they aren't, it's not like they're the extreme low end.
Right.
It's just that it's working poor is what the, you know, if you're supporting a family of like four on one Walmart wage for 40 hours a week, you end up being classified as working poor.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's how people get classified. But if your expenditures are out of control, it doesn't matter how much you make. You
know? And none of those can count the entitlement transfers that you get through Medicaid, through housing assistance, through food stamps, any of those things.
Right. Yeah. None of that put into anyone's calculations.
Yeah.
And you're right, because Walmart, if you have a skill that Walmart wants, Walmart will pay you. Just like the drivers or the managers, they get paid.
The store managers make almost $100,000 a year.
Yeah, sure. You get paid.
So
then Walmart right now, they're trying to make their own bank to have regular like business hours. Like this, like we're going to make a bank that's open most of the time.
It's
when
like
people
their med clinics that are like, you know, there's a nurse practitioner that's available 24 hours a day because they're open.
Yeah, we're open. We're here. People, you know,
unlike the Medicaid, a place that accepts Medicaid, that you can only get in Tuesday and Thursday every other week during the month from that doctor because he can't stay open because of the reimbursement rates.
Right.
You know, I can't wait till like Walmart takes over the motorcycle course here in Indiana, and you know, from A-Bay, I'm like, you could get your motorcycle license here at any Walmart at any time of day, instead of just on the weekends.
During this window.
Yeah, this small window, and you got to do all 3 days. So screw you if you got something to do.
You're from Elkhart, you got to like love Walmart. That's like, you know, that's like your Keystone Mall.
Well, no, actually, because, well, okay, here's the thing. The Walmart in Elkhart, you would think it would be nice. It's not. It's actually terrible. Target is where it's at, really.
You're Target.
20-year-old white girl with sunglasses as a hat, of course.
Okay, first of all, I wear them to keep my hair pushed back.
They're real Wayfarers, though.
Yeah, they are.
She's wearing Ray-Bans, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all right, well, yeah, I get it, I'm white. But anyways.
Tell me more.
Sorry.
You have a pumpkin spice?
Yeah. No, don't drink coffee. Can't. But it's not organic. No, I'm kidding. But Walmart, I mean, I actually have
coffee.
What?
They make organic coffee. You can get organic stuff.
Harry.
Well, you're ruining my joke.
Oh, sorry.
No more autism. Continue, Kat.
No, I was just going to say, because my mom surprisingly has a problem with Walmart, but I actually have a few friends I went to high school with whose parents, both parents, like, work at Walmart, and they make, like, very good money.
Yeah, like middle class, you know, just above middle class income.
Yeah, like it's...
They can, like, save and, like, you know, go on vacations.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I wasn't their friend because I'm white, but
they work at Walmart.
So the point,
I didn't want to have those awkward conversations when I bulk buy.
But the point we're trying to make is that Kat has left her parents' home, and she has now come into my home, and I am teaching. I'm her new parent.
Mm-hmm.
She has called me dad several times.
You're her life guide.
Right. She, as an ex of mine says, I'm dad as fuck. one day we were when we were at the track, I got lost from then. She looked at Vanessa Richardson and she goes, "Where'd dad go?"
Well, because it was really crowded and I was scared. And one time when we were on the track, we were crossing the street, and as a joke, Spangle was like, "Hold my hand," and I did it because I was just, I don't know,
trusting.
Pressure. I was trusting.
Well, I legitimately was like, "Now look out, Kat. I'm very protective of her. I'm very like, now listen. You be nice to Kat. She's just a young child who doesn't understand anything about the world. She drove on the interstate for the first time to get to here.
Yeah, I've never driven, really. Barbie car, yes. But
on 465, yeah.
Which isn't much different.
Right.
Not much different, no. But yeah, I don't know. I got my license late when I was about almost 18 years old.
Are you young for your grade?
No. Oh. That's what's sad.
But see, I also feel like it might be a mistake that your parents are trusting you with us here at We Are Libertarians to teach you so many things. Because you did get in a bit of trouble yesterday.
Did I?
Yeah, when you said fuck on the internet for the first time.
Yeah, I did. Okay, so I know, right?
I know.
I don't
like
to swear because I'm a child of God, but
and we're not.
No.
Well, I talked her into it.
Whoa, Spangle, get my mom on here right now.
Sorry. No, but Spangle like talked me into saying the F word in a video, and then he put it on Facebook. And I shared it on Twitter because I blocked my mom on Twitter because of all of her trolling. And I don't want to be associated with it.
Her rampant shit posting.
Right, yes.
I love her mom. Her mom is the best.
I know.
Yeah. And
I honestly thought she might be a paid government SOC. Like, that's how effective a troll she is. I thought she might have been one of those NSA people that are just like rabid trolls.
Greg, she is coming down to the state capitol for an anti-Sharia rally.
Well, yeah.
And we're going.
Of course we are.
Here's the thing.
We're going to interview Natalie Anagnos.
I really don't think she believes it. I really don't. I think she's going to take a picture, and she's going to print that picture off and put it in her office.
It'll be her cover photo.
Yeah, and it'll piss everyone off.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, Spangle convinced me to say an F word or the F word in a video, and we put it on Facebook, and my mom commented, "I do not like this, period, at all, period." And then about 30 minutes...
But if you had said... F Muslims, she would have been like, "You're my favorite daughter.
Yeah,
I disown
like,
Chloe
oh my
until
God.
She disavows ISIS."
So then my mom texts me and said, we were just talking about, I don't even remember what, and she said, "By the way, you should take that video down. I don't like it. Not appropriate at all. Your choice, though. Heart emoji." And I feel like she added the heart emoji to like
soften the
blow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It was a funny video. I mean, it was, explain the video.
Oh, yeah. So I thought it was hilarious. So
we'll put it up on the We Are Libertarians Instagram. Go check it out.
Yeah, we'll put it up. But I basically, so my first year or my first summer away from home. So I'm applying to all these like different places because We Are Libertarians does not pay me. And I applied to McDonald's at first as a joke. And then the more I was thinking about it, just kind of like Walmart, like business model is great. Like it's a great place to work. Like,
The benefits,
yeah. Et cetera. So I applied.
The social prestige that
right,
comes
the
along.
Right, hey, their new uniforms that they release are nice.
Swag.
They are. They're like this grayscale. But anyways, I digress. And I applied, and I didn't get a call back for about 3 weeks. And I was like, God, I can't even get a job at McDonald's. Like, this is pathetic. And I was driving past the McDonald's in Muncie, Indiana that I applied to. And a crane was destroying the entire building. Like, a literal crane picking up grills, dropping it. Like, the place was demolished. And Spangle and I were like, wow, McDonald's did not want me so much that they destroyed the building.
It was, we really need somebody, but we have one applicant. And if this is the pool of applicants that we're drawing, let's just kill ourselves.
Like with the crane. Like it was,
let's kill ourselves.
Like
suicide.
Let's have construction. Let's demolish this building while we're still inside.
Hopefully she comes.
But the
day for an interview.
But the video that we posted was me playing the voicemail that the woman left me out loud. And it was like, "Hi, this is Michaela from McDonald's in Muncie, Indiana. I read your application and I'm very impressed. I would like to give you an interview." And I'm like, "Fuck yeah, out of here, bitch." And then, yeah, it was funny, but my mom did not approve.
She didn't approve at all.
She did not.
Well, you know, they do have known ties to ISIS.
We're leading her young daughter astray by saying fuck on the internet. She's like, I'm scared. I'm scared.
I actually don't talk like that, but I did say I was a little bit nervous.
About applying at McDonald's or about Michaela's authoritative tone?
The tone, and I still haven't called her back. I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm still not paid yet for my...
I decided to take two unpaid internships, one with a podcast, one with a radio show, rather than talk to you, Michaela.
Yeah.
You can keep your shekels.
I really just want to, like, because I applied online, and if anyone has applied to McDonald's, their application process is crazy, but they, like, email you all these PDFs of, like, their customer service and all this stuff, and I got one for a link to buy the uniform. Even though I don't work, because I assume anybody who
great
applies
Halloween costume
gets a job. Well, here's the thing. I kind of want to buy a uniform and just not wear it for Halloween. I just want to wear it because the material looks great.
That would be great comedy of you showing up at different McDonald's and then having someone videotape you and then pretending that you're a new hire.
Lesbian.
And the manager isn't on staff, and so you just kind of like try to go with the flow and go with the team.
Be like, I'm Michaela, if anybody questions me.
I'm the new person that you just hired. Yeah. And then see if they'll let you like go and shadow for the day and then have someone record it all.
Oh, my gosh.
Amazing social engineering right there.
Lesbian rumors intensify.
Yeah, we already got those.
Yeah.
So I might not need
the
to
McCat
do that.
The McCat experience.
Cat just has a deeper voice and played soccer and, you know, wears that. And so...
Oh, so she has a
Subaru
Forester.
I'm wearing a pocket t-shirt and a pair of jeans, for the record.
Is it from the Gap?
No, the shirt's from Old Navy and the jeans are from Old Navy.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah, she drives a Subaru, though.
Yeah,
I drive a Ford Fusion and it's not mine.
Oh, that's the stepping stone.
But it's
lesbianism.
Red.
Yeah.
It's red. Does that mean something?
Yeah, does it have an eyebrow? Does it say Fusion?
I don't know what that means.
Like, so, like a white eyebrow above the, like on the windshield?
No.
So that other people know it's a Fusion?
No. People probably can tell what it is. Well,
oh, that's a red Fusion. She's a lesbian.
Probably. No, I don't
she
know.
Probably she probably plays softball at Ball State. Don't worry about it.
The change oil light came on. It popped on last night. And so she was late to work today because she had to go change the oil because she was scared the engine was going to blow up.
Honestly, that's better because Chloe's like did blow up.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Chloe's gotten in like multiple accidents, all not her fault. And
as well credentialed as she is in the pageantry circuit, she is that terrible with auto maintenance.
No, she's much better now. She's one of my top five favorite drivers. So
because she drove you everywhere.
Because she drove me everywhere.
Right.
Good big sister.
But no, now ever since not driving on the interstate, not having any experience, the fastest I've ever driven to and from work in Elkhart, Indiana was 35 miles an hour. I'm not even kidding. I'm not kidding.
Are you Amish?
Close, but
Greek
no.
Amish?
Greek Amish, yeah. It's weird.
You're wasting all that power in the Fusion to do 35?
Right? Well, at the time I was driving a 2000 Oldsmobile Alero.
Oh, God. Did it have a spoiler?
No spoiler. Not fancy enough.
Man. That thing barely did 35.
That thing barely did 35.
You have a Subaru Forester.
First off, it's a Legacy.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
Legacy.
Premium.
Okay. Premium.
The 7 series of the Subarus.
Yeah, but it's from like 1997.
93? Okay, it's a classic. Okay.
Were you born yet? Mazda that Paul Walker drove in Fast and Furious 1.
Let's sink that in. What did you just say?
I was born in 96 of November, so pretty much almost 97. But
so
I'm not
you
a
have
millennial,
like no
I swear.
Recollection of the Atlanta like Olympic bombing? Or the?
Yeah.
It sounds like you don't either.
Do you remember 9/11?
Yes, I was...
When the tourists bombed the World Trade Center?
No, I do remember 9/11. I think I was in kindergarten or preschool.
So you don't remember 9/11?
I feel...
Somebody said something about it.
Oh, my God.
I don't remember.
I was 18.
I feel like a grandfather.
Yeah. Oh, it's awful having her around because she just dad zones me like crazy. She's just like, huh, that's a funny dad joke.
Like, yeah, it is. Well, and here's the thing. Because I grew up with Chloe.
She's just like, you're so old. That's hilarious. I'm like, I'm not old yet. I'm 33. She's like, whatever, Grandpa.
Okay. He makes me sound worse than I am. Well, because I grew up with Chloe, I never like did the stuff of kids my age at the time. Like, I've always been, I guess, older. So I watched all the 90s cartoons, the 90s
like
movies, and the 700 Club or whatever those things are. But
what?
I love Pat Robertson,
you know,
predicts the weather from scripture.
Yeah, exactly.
that's my best part.
700 Club, yeah. So right. Watched all that kind of stuff instead of Teletubbies or whatever.
Well, yeah.
So I consider
How else
myself.
Can you get woke and go to anti-Muslim rallies
right,
at the state
exactly.
capitol?
At eight, hey, by age 3, I was walking in all the parades.
Except
support
gay.
The troops.
Yeah,
I was an oath keeper at 16. I went down to the Texas border for spring break and stared down the Mexicans.
I was, what are they called? The Minutemen?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what they're called down there?
Yeah, you're a daughter of the American Revolution.
Yeah. Hey, I'm telling you, by sixth grade, I was rounding up illegals on the border and sending them back.
Well, somebody's doing the raping.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay, so Kat Anagnos, there's a lot to unwrap with this little onion.
I love how like she describes herself as libertarian, and that's because she's a Republican, but she doesn't want anyone at school to think she hates queers.
Right.
Yeah, so the reason I like found out about the Libertarian Party was because in college, when people... Because I was a political science major, but I changed it because it was too hard. And I don't like these.
You know, like comparative politics, like communism versus
terrible. No, I'd rather just read a BuzzFeed quiz.
Trust me.
She's on not a Facebook profile quiz. I don't really care about
that. Yeah, you don't like political discussion of the 1880s? Huh? Mm. No?
I don't.
Miss Mark Empard? Oh.
I don't know if I'm cut out to be an intern. I don't know if I can work in radio or broadcasting. I go, what's your grade point average? She's like, almost a C. I was like, you're perfect. Perfect.
Are you serious?
Well, here's the thing. Okay, I'm going to be a junior in college now. Freshman year cat made the dean's list. 3.8 GPA. Freaking amazing. Made it on my parents' fridge.
Then you joined
like
a sorority. Mm-hmm.
No. Well, yes.
That'll do it.
And then and dad weren't there. Didn't care about impressing them.
Well, yes. Yeah. And then it kind of came to the point where I was done with the entry-level classes and everything got real. So I was journalism and poli-sci and everything was very hard and
that's the weeding
boring.
Out.
Yeah. So I got weeded out, basically, which is sad. So I changed my major to something extremely broad. Might drop out, who knows. So that's where I am now.
I'm a big fan of her dropping out.
Don't let her.
Yeah. I'm not going to, because it makes sense for her to stay.
Because you busted your ass.
It makes everything harder when you don't have a degree.
Like, you could have very well not ended up as successful as you are
Absolutely.
Had you gone the other route, but you busted your ass to get where you are.
It took 10 to 15 years of really hard work to get to a point where other people say I'm successful. But in my mind, I'm not successful. Mm-hmm. Like, to me...
Right, your goals are higher, but...
Of course. Like, but... So, it is one of those things where it's just like, oh, yeah, you are successful. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm still that loser in my mom's basement at 26 who can't get a date and is working part-time as a janitor.
The crippling self-doubt of non-college early 20s.
Exactly right. And so... But I do think that it is a safety blanket, and it robs some people of ambition because they just think, well, as soon as I get out, I'll just start the application process, and I'll get in, and like...
I'll go to Queer Day.
That was, yeah, exactly.
I'll show them my winning personality.
You'll go to Queer Day? Is that what you just said?
Well, yeah. Everybody knows that they have a monopoly on jobs.
Right.
Yeah.
And communications,
blow,
specifically.
Hand, the rim,
You made my case.
All the best jobs.
All the best jobs.
All the best jobs.
Come in rainbow.
So we apologize to Dean and Natalie and Agnos who are hearing this. We promise we're going to teach your daughter many things that
to stay in school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yes, we're going to corrupt her in the good ways and not in the bad ways. She's a very, very fine young lady. She is very smart, very intelligent. She will be joining us a lot here on the program. Moving forward, you can. Greg asked me what the difference between Chloe and Kat is. Kat didn't inherit the filter that Chloe has. Chloe wants to be somebody someday. Kat wants attention, and so she's gonna fit in with us great
in the best way possible.
Right.
I swear.
Right. Yeah. So
like
she's,
saying fuck on the internet. Right.
Yeah. Still haven't said it on this podcast. Oh, well, I did when I was recreating something.
Yeah. No, so she's a great kid, and we are excited that she's going to be joining us here on the program. She was like, I don't know if I can come on. I don't know anything. I know nothing about politics or facts. I'm like, man, just sit there and be funny.
That's not your role.
Yeah. So
I do kind of know some stuff.
That's what I do.
To the viewers out there, I promise I am not as stupid as everyone here is making me out to be. So
see, I don't feel like we've made her out to be stupid.
Yeah, you need to not listen. I know you're 20, so you're not going to learn this for like 5 to 10 more years. Mm-hmm. You need to not care what other people think at all.
Okay, thanks, Dad.
Exactly.
Just show them your winning personality and your can-do work ethic, kid.
Just be you.
You got gumption.
Yeah. No.
Wow. I'm inspired.
She's like, I can't say fuck on the internet. People will judge me. I'm like, all those people don't say fuck.
And honestly, no one's watching you, and the ones that are, you want them to be offended.
Exactly.
Right.
So I control them just like my mom does.
Exactly.
It all comes full circle.
Kumbaya. Kakuna Matata.
But you don't have to swear on the microphone, you know, to get people to notice you. I don't swear on the microphone.
Mm-hmm. No, Harry doesn't need to.
He's a child of God.
Who is that?
He created Bitcoin.
Oh, that's...
Well, no.
Dr. Harry Price,
no proof.
A.K.A. Satoshi Nakamoto.
No.
All right, we have a lot to cover, and I am very tired. And
we have a lot to cover, but there's not a lot to discuss.
Exactly right. There's been a ton of news all of a sudden, and a lot
an
of
explosion.
It, an explosion of news. Mostly I feel that way because I started watching news again a week and a half ago, and so I'm like, there is so much going on.
And there's like no good reporting on any of it.
At all. We could start on the Russia stuff, or we could start on the important
I mean, Russia, it's just about what's verifiable, you know, kind of an update where things are.
Let's start with that. Let's get into the Russia stuff real quick. And we'll put all of our show prep. How much of this is copy and paste?
For the first one is almost all from Andrew McCarthy's article on the National Review, because he's the only, like, credible outlet that did a really thoughtful analysis of the Obama FISA court surveillance revelations by Circa News.
Okay. So we'll have our if you go to wearelibertarians.com, it will not be in your podcast feed. It will be in the it'll be on the We Are Libertarians website. Let's talk about the Russians, because as the Russia stuff continues to go on, as it has for 9 months now, 6 months, I'm increasingly impressed with the amount of coverage and scandal that the media and the Democrats have been able to create around allegations.
All anonymous sources.
All anonymous sources.
Not one verifiable on the record source willing to go and say, this is what I know.
No smoking gun document.
The allegation that there are, like, multiple breaking blockbuster stories by people like the New York Times.
Right.
By the source is a secondhand reading of an alleged memo Director Comey apparently wrote down after an alleged meeting with President Trump, and then went back and dawdled down on notes, and then somehow he handed it to this other anonymous source who then sat at a coffee shop in New York City and read it to a Times reporter, but wouldn't let him actually see it.
Right. So
it's a game of telephone.
That is the in-depth reporting that you're getting on the Russia stuff. And there are all of these investigations. There was a special on CNN with John Kasich and Bernie Sanders, of all people, talking about the White House in crisis.
Wouldn't it have been great if great men like that won?
And so it's just amazing to me that we have absolutely no smoking gun whatsoever, and yet it is the greatest scandal since
Watergate.
But we have absolutely no proof. There is no tape on a door in the Watergate. There is no creep. There is nothing. And the disconnection between Donald Trump and his band of merry idiots are the dumbest people on the planet.
They think they act first, and they never take the time to consider how it will be perceived or how it could be framed post their action.
While at the same time being the greatest set of conspirators since the creep and the Nixon. And I mean, you have to choose at a certain point. They're either all completely stupid or they're all completely conspiratorial. No one has ever really proven or said exactly what meddling took place. It's like the narrative had been chosen that the Russians meddled in our election.
And based on a 4chan document.
And then they just started nibbling around trying to find any tie, you know. And so you have Michael Flynn, who's sitting across from Jill Stein in 2015 at a dinner where he's sitting next to Putin in this photo, and it's like, ha-ha! See, Michael Flynn sitting next to Putin. So
think
clearly
about all the people you've been pictured sitting next to.
Absolutely.
I mean, are you friends with...
No.
I mean, technically, since you've sat at tables with people who've worked for the vice president's staff, and you've been, you know, you've attended parties with them.
Right.
Are we sure that We Are Libertarians isn't in totally, you know, controlled by Russians?
I mean, Greg disappeared, and the rumor...
I got blackbagged.
...that I started was that he was in Russia planning this episode.
Well, Carter Page offered me a ride on his private plane, and it was an easy consulting gig.
So,
I mean, it was going to help the president. I did my patriotic duty.
Yeah. So the narrative was chosen, and then now they're just trying to find little facts and little hearsay evidence and circumstantial evidence to prove that there was meddling by the Russians in our election. But there never has been any kind of report, as far as I have seen.
There is no quintessential, like, cornerstone document that all of this can be built upon.
That there was a voter machine tampering by the Russians.
We know that the Homeland Security did that because the states of Georgia and Indiana are filing a lawsuit about that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Right. Where the Homeland Security was hacking into voting machines in those states. We have people like Brennan and other Obama administration officials warning Donald Trump about Russian interference and warning him about Michael Flynn. But there never is any substance as to why they were warning them. It was just all like, well, Barack
Obama... He got paid by Turkey to be a foreign advisor.
So this is where Flynn did mess up. Flynn, if we read his book, on ISIS was very interesting, a really good read. Very
his
thoughtful.
Worldview is the existing worldview of like civilizations and how they're interacting.
So it's definitely worth a read because you'll learn something. But he took a consulting gig with Turkey in
2007.
Was it August of 2000? No, it was August of 2016.
And
And then the contract ended on election day, and he never disclosed that to the campaign that he was consulting on security issues in ISIS for Turkey, and was an advisor to Trump during that time. And then when he was called to the carpet about it by people like Mike Pence, he lied about it. And
lied about his conversations with Russia's foreign Sergei Kasgarov.
Yeah, the foreign minister.
The foreign minister, which because he wasn't in the executive office, he can't conduct foreign policy on behalf of the United States, even though it was the transition window when he would be head of national security apparatus.
One of the jobs that he was tasked with as the administration was talking to other foreign leaders, including the Russians. But in so many cases, the press and the Democrats are singling out situations like that where, see, he met with the Russians. Well, yeah, he also met with 100 other people from 100 other countries.
Trump received zero donations, and neither did anyone in his family from foreign governments or anyone that worked for him during the campaign. The Clintons received 32
right
to the Clinton Global Initiative.
Mm-hmm.
Which, why is that, you know... None of those need to be investigated.
It never would have even fallen on the radar.
Like Bill Clinton going on behalf of the head of Oman, the tyrannical dictator, in order to get the World Cup there and using slave labor in order to try and get it done, securing a $22 million FIFA buy-off so that he could get $3 million and be asked to come and speak with Chelsea. Because Hillary, it would look bad if she went and spoke, in an Islamic republic that throws gays off of rooftops.
Sure.
That doesn't need to be investigated. But because Carter Page has taken out real estate loans in Russia, and Trump went to Russia in 1975 to talk about investing in a hotel, 24-hour surveillance.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So the case is flimsy at best, and I view it as partisan bullshit, and the media doesn't like Trump, and the Democrats don't like Trump, so they're trying to concoct a narrative.
The intelligence community hates him.
Now, if there were a situation where there was a smoking gun, I would absolutely change my opinion. But right now, a lot of people in permanent Washington, in both the media and the political establishment, are asking you to trust their word that this man conspired with Russia to win the presidency.
Vladimir Putin offered him a deal with the devil. You can be president of the United States, but I'll control you. Will you take it? And he did.
And there's absolutely no workable theory where Vladimir Putin could become could make a president of the United States
and bought off a billionaire.
Short of rigging voting machines, in my mind. But
that's the thing, is the election wasn't hacked. Nobody hacked machines.
Right.
They're saying that they used intelligence that they got from the United States apparatus and then revealed it in a way that was beneficial to Donald Trump and detrimental to Hillary Clinton.
Sure.
No one's saying that Russians actually got in. No, there isn't a news story saying Russians tampered with voting machines.
Right.
It's about how they dominated the narrative through fake news.
You mean everyone telling the truth about Hillary Clinton?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. She has Kuru disease.
Which is
where you're a cannibal and you eat, young kids and you develop like...
I believe that's Parkinson's.
Okay.
Oh.
That's mean, and I love Michael J. Fox, so
sorry,
I wish you wouldn't
sorry.
Say...
But so I just...
On the night you go back.
So I have a real tough time believing that Vladimir Putin has the kind of power that he's being credited with. CNN, again, has a special if you go on the Roku app that has a picture of Putin, and the title of the special is "The Most Powerful Man in the World." Well, okay, come on.
Yeah, really? Russia, the most powerful? Yeah, Putin? Like, even if you're like scared of Putin or wondering what Putin to do, you can like just take a realistic snapshot just of like the military might. It's
right.
Just not there.
It isn't.
They don't. Most of the military is bad gas. They mostly make their money off of gas that people don't want or need. They don't have the money to do that. It would make more sense that Putin paid off, like, if a Kasich won, that would make sense.
Mm-hmm. Right, because that's someone who's already acceptable to the apparatus that could affect change in the direction of the government.
Right. Yeah. Why would Vladimir Putin make such a bad investment in Donald Trump? Because he's completely incompetent, and he has a team of people who have no ties to permanent Washington.
Yeah.
It's a bad investment in the first place.
Right, yeah, he can get voted out and impeached. It would probably worth more to go after maybe a Supreme Court judge or, I don't know, 50 senators.
General Mad Dog Mattis. Mattis. Yeah. I mean, that is who you would have way better. Mm-hmm. And General Flynn isn't somebody, you know, everybody already knew his worldview and everyone had accepted it, that it was a rising clash of civilizations. The Middle East was totally unsettling because of the way oil was under Shia land rather than Sunni land.
Yeah.
And that was what was leading to the Arab Spring uprising, and that the future would be a rising Iran. Like, that's just facts. And so he was the one that, like, really put that worldview out there.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you could have him write a second book and he'd be all of a sudden be able to say, well, no, the oil isn't under Shia land.
Right.
You know, the world doesn't work that way.
Yep. Another thing, you could go after a bunch of unpaid interns and convince them to, like, interpret documents to them. That's cheaper.
Yeah.
Right.
What do you think, Kat? Have you been following this? Because you're a normie.
I'm a what?
Normie.
A normie?
Like, you follow politics, but you're not, like, obsessed with it.
Well, I don't know. It's kind of interesting being on a college campus because I'm so, like we said, I originally became a libertarian because I didn't want to get my ass kicked by people.
You didn't want to be grouped as a gay-hating white supremacist?
Yeah, because that's seriously what it is. Like, all jokes aside, it's ridiculous.
It's a party of Sarah Palin's.
Just a little bit. And I don't know, there is no liberal on a college campus. Mm-mm. There is a insane, like, we have the alt-right, we've got the alt-left, like, insane. And so, yeah, and so every time something kind of comes up like this, I've taken a step back from politics, especially this past year, because it's so tiring how people, especially on a college campus, just believe everything. Like, you talk about the right believing fake news.
Sorry.
The cat is pushing my microphone.
Min's just walked over and pushed her microphone around and put her asshole right in Kat's face. Sorry about that.
I think that's...
Now she's going to bite her.
All right. Well, so. I tried. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to know what to believe anymore, like, being as young as I am.
Right.
Because it's just ridiculous. So I don't know. If you ask any of... like, if I didn't have my own opinions and I went off of everybody else, I would totally believe it. I would believe in everything. Donald Trump is the devil.
Right.
Russia is us. That kind of
He's
thing.
Like the revelations, the horned creature
the
that comes out of the ground.
Putin mm-hmm. was involved in everything. Hillary Clinton didn't win, or she lost not because she was a terrible candidate and an extremely unlikable, but because it's all a big conspiracy.
So let's jump into we all knew, and I said at some point on this program, in one of my many anti-Trump rants before the election, that there's going to come a time when Donald Trump, because he has a complete lack of self-control, will be in a meeting and he will give out sensitive information in a meeting to the wrong people. And lo and behold, We Are Libertarians was right again.
Nailed it.
Let's give our listeners some information on the actual facts on what Trump said to Russia.
So, to Russia, he revealed information given to us by Israeli spies about their best source on intel for plane bombings and for how strategies and tactics, what they look for in trying to sneak bombs onto planes and then commit mass atrocity.
Right.
That information was given to us from Mossad to the United States.
Mossad.
Is it Mossad?
It's Mossad or Mossad, which is the intelligence agency for the Israelis.
It's kind of like CIA and FBI combined, right?
Right. Yes. Yeah. But it's the greatest intelligence apparatus in the world.
Yeah. And so they gave Netanyahu gave this information to Trump in a meeting. Trump ended up just blurting it out to Dmitry Kazgarov or whatever his name is.
Let's be honest. Donald Trump, why are you having a meeting with, first off, the Comey situation? Why are you having a meeting with a guy who hates you alone with no other witnesses in the room? Why are you meeting with the Russian ambassador
Well, that's the thing, too, is who leaked this?
Exactly. Everything. And so the Manchester bombings, Theresa May said today that they're not sharing information about the Manchester bombings with the Trump administration because that information got leaked to the New York Times and was very hurtful to the Manchester family. And so, you know, now Donald Trump is...
Because clearly Trump said, please leak any information from GHCQ.
Right, which is not
we don't want to catch ISIS. Which is not what happened. I was just kidding about dropping the MOBE.
Which is not what happened. And so Donald Trump issued an order saying, find the leaker, prosecute them to the full extent of the law. You're hindering the prosecution of terrorists in Britain. But we now have a situation where, and the press is spinning it as Donald Trump leaked the information to, but it wasn't Donald Trump or his administration, as far as anybody knows. Nobody knows who leaked the information from the Manchester bombings to the New York Times. But the Trump administration is being blamed for it to push a narrative in the media that he is leaking state secrets.
He's just going around at Mar-a-Lago saying, you're never going to believe what these goat herders are doing.
Right. He told his son Baron and Baronet. You know, he has autism.
The
so
Dark
he,
Prince.
He can't help himself.
and he just, in a screeching rage, said, Amara Bakar al-Abdali.
So who was in the meeting that he's having a meeting with the Russian ambassador, which is stupid in the first place.
But, I mean, we are coordinating with the Russians on ISIS in defeating this new Al-Tahrir sham, which is the Al-Nusra Front,
right.
ISIS, and then several other, like, Sunni law-based terrorist organizations that are trying to rule Raqqa.
Right. Now, who was in that meeting?
So, it supposedly took place with Trump, and then... not obviously the Israeli organizations, but then what is his name? Is it McMaster's?
Yes.
Yeah, McMaster's.
McMaster's, who took over for Flynn.
And apparently they were like shocked, you know, sitting there. And then Mike Rogers, who is national security.
Yeah, he was the former congressman who was head of intelligence in the Congress. And I don't know what his role is now.
Right. And then he and Dan Coats are both working on that. And so it was apparently that to the Russian foreign ambassador, this was leaked and directly Trump just blurted it out. Couldn't wait to share it. And then the way that the United States press responds is they're going around saying, oh, my God, this guy is literally, you know, committing impeachable offenses by sharing top secret classified information like it's locker room gossip. Mm-hmm. I love it. Putin immediately goes, I'm going to have to draw up my minister on high crimes because he didn't reveal any of this information to me. I really wish he would have. I don't know why he's hiding it from me. And I thought Putin is either the greatest master troll or he's the one person who's also kind of, you know, telling the truth about this. Yeah. Because one, how is this information getting out?
Right.
McMaster's and Rogers aren't going to sit there and, hey, New York Times reporter, I'm a part of this administration. Let me tell you why it's failing because Mike Pence is so superior.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's who will save us. That's who will make us great again. Mm-hmm. If we electrocute enough gays, this country.
Right.
You know, but so that's the thing, is it's absurd. It's literally, in my opinion, the intelligence community trying to constantly undermine, no matter how unofficial and how anonymous every source is, any part of any agenda or any reform he tries to undertake. And it's something that drives you to a point of paranoia where you end up like Nixon. You end up working outside the law that you're sworn to uphold because you can't take it anymore. Like, you're driven outside the law.
Right. Yeah, it everything goes back to the intelligence establishment undermining this administration.
And, from day one.
And so nobody can... let's say Trump did give this information. Do we know what information he leaked, and was it within his... I mean, because at the end of the day, the president is the one who can classify and declassify things. The buck stops with him. So it is his ability to declassify that information if he wants. But do we know what the...
What information was shared?
Sure.
And how reliable is it that there is a leak inside... the upper echelon of the cabinet.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How likely is that?
So do you think that this is just a made-up story?
Right. Like the only answer... No, I think that this is something that is false. Or I think...
Explain that.
Or that whoever it is in the intelligence agency that's sending this up to McMaster's is turning around and has a vendetta and is giving it to the New York Times.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the only...
But they'll never do it on the record.
Mm-hmm.
just like Watergate.
Yeah.
And then it drives the person so crazy, especially someone so erratic as Donald Trump, that he goes outside the law and then condemns himself. It's like Chinese water torture. It's just constant leak, leak, leak until you lose your mind and you say, to hell with it. I don't care what the Constitution says. We have to stop this.
Right.
And then they've got you.
Right, yeah. Because, you know, like, because, like, you could try to put it off, like, okay, maybe, like, their devices are compromised. But it's Donald Trump. If he thinks your device is compromised, he'll probably just grab your laptop, throw in the garbage.
He's not Hillary Clinton.
Right. Mm-hmm. Here's your new laptop. But I like that one. I think that one's got stuff on it. You got this. Here's your new one. You know? Okay, thank you. But, you know, it's got to be someone, like, in between intercepting Uber, someone in that chain that's doing it. And they're doing it deliberately. They know exactly what they're doing.
They're undermining the President of the United States. And they are the enforcement mechanism for the executive branch. Mm-hmm. And they are waging a counterinsurgency.
Yeah. Well,
through like the most petty, passive aggressive, beta male way possible.
Yeah.
They're the cucks of the intelligence world.
But I mean, it worked in Watergate, right?
It did. So, it always works.
It always works. So, I mean, you have to think, but there's somebody probably sitting around trying to figure out how to stop Donald Trump. Well, here you go.
I think it's just a rerun.
Yeah.
And they know he's way more erratic than Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
Because think about it. Does anyone here think Donald Trump is not a patriot? Do you think he's not an irrational pro-American
right.
with who's never given thought to what that actually means, but he knows he loves Uncle Sam and the Red, White, and Blue?
Yeah. Right.
You think he loves the hammer and sickle?
I mean, the guy eats what? Doesn't he, where we talked about that, he eats McDonald's for every meal and like KFC.
Just KFC.
He eats well-done steak with ketchup. That is more American than literally anything you could do.
Yeah.
I mean, unless he worked at Walmart, he couldn't be more American. But that's what I mean, is it's so absurd to think he's a Russian-influenced person.
He is pure Americana,
as Alex Jones says.
I mean, he is. It's almost like buffoonish how much he is an over-the-top American.
It's silly and jingoistic is what he is. He in everything that Donald Trump does, he doesn't really give anything thought. He plays the role of what he thinks people play to. Like, I don't think that
he's the ultimate panderer.
Right. Like, I don't think that when Donald Trump goes overseas to these appearances, like to Saudi Arabia, like he's an ugly American. The term ugly American is basically about someone who is just that, you know, that person that goes overseas, doesn't give a thought to anybody else's customs or that they might be offending someone. It's just a very self-centered buffoon type behavior. And that's very much him. Like, I think that Donald Trump at his core, he cares about the human being in front of him to some extent. He
to the extent that can help him achieve whatever it is in that moment he
wants
to achieve.
Exactly right. But he doesn't have the sensitivity like a Barack Obama, who grew up across the world in multicultural environments with very liberal parents. Some might even say communist parents and Frank Marshall Davis. But
that's a slanderous term.
But I mean, and this is to Obama's credit. Like, you see Obama at the G7 or the G8 or whatever, and you just see him and you go, well, that's a guy who understands what it means to be a player on the world. He represents the United States in a very classy way. And then Donald Trump is the exact opposite in the embodiment of the ugly American. The guy just puts up as many American flags as he possibly can because America's great. But there's he doesn't sit there.
Or it used to be.
It's like the guy in Montana, the guy who's running for Congress as a Republican who just
Gianforte
who just punched the reporter for asking him a question, you know, and that guy's
gonna had it with you people.
That guy's gonna sit there and say, "I'm for the Constitution. I'm very libertarian leaning." Well, the foundation of libertarian thought is don't hit people and steal their stuff. That's the foundation of the Constitution.
Tolerate anything until it affects you on a personal, physical level.
Right, and so this guy just is he's anti-libertarian. He's anti-Constitution in practice.
On 70% of those things.
But, I mean, the whole point of the Constitution is fundamentally, in some ways, libertarian in that it is about
caging,
limiting the amount of people that are hit and limiting the amount of stuff that is stolen. And this guy is just like, well, I'm going to hit everybody and take... like
he literally stunned the press.
His personal...
he stone cold stunned the press.
He literally dropped a rock elbow on a Guardian reporter.
He took two Coors Lights after he stunned him with the stunner. And
listen, you limey motherfucker.
Yeah.
And
that's the bottom line.
And so
maybe that reporter's breath was bad.
You know, right.
Total violation of
his opponent. You know, takes his daughter to nude beaches. That's the only way this guy's going to win.
Oh,
Vote
for the Libertarian.
That's your choice. Yeah, vote for the Libertarian.
Vote for Wix. Vote for Wix in Montana, if you're one of our listeners in Montana. But my point is that this guy, in his personal values, does not actually mean what he says. Like, a person who is a Libertarian... As a person who is libertarian, I am libertarian because it matches my personal values. I discovered my personal values and that I don't think it's right to hit people and that I don't think it's right to steal people's stuff. And
after much time contemplating all these profound insights, right. I ever said,
As many times as I've wanted to hit Kat through the day, mm-hmm. I never would.
Yeah.
Are you that bad?
Yeah, it's because I'm a woman, too.
She broke out into Celine Dion's... she's editing video yesterday, and all of a sudden it's just pitch quiet in the room, and she hates quiet, first of all.
I do.
And
it's
so she whistles, she makes noise. All of a sudden, we're editing video. It's kind of...
And I... Like that. But I don't finish the song. It's just that part.
I was getting creep video.
Just to make everyone really uncomfortable?
I didn't notice I was doing it until I received a Snapchat from Spangle of myself doing it.
Because she does it so often that I was creep snapping.
She
Chloe.
Breaks out the song just randomly
I was,
all the time?
Yeah. I was getting creep video of her to send to Chloe. Because I do that sometimes. We'll put that video up on the We Are Libertarians Instagram. It's very funny.
I have severe ADHD. It's fine.
And so she just broke out into Whitney Houston. But my personal values match my politics.
Culture broke.
And so somebody like Donald Trump doesn't really have personal values. His personal values are what's going to get me the best deal. Which, you know, he extends to I am America, so I am getting America the best deal. But he doesn't have any consideration that of the future.
Well, like the Saudi arms
opinions.
Deal.
Yeah.
You know, roughly 100 and over the course of 10 years, almost over 100 billion in arms sales to the Saudi government. All the meanwhile, knowing that they're the ones who go ahead and send it to radical Sunni organizations in the Middle East that end up joining the cause with ISIS, Al Qaeda, or like the Al-Nusra Front.
Right.
And so, all because, though, American companies will end up benefiting. Or, no, it's over a trillion because American companies stand to make over $509 billion over the course of the next 10 years.
And that creates jobs, Greg.
Right.
Don't you want to make jobs?
Right. And he's going to be the greatest jobs creating president in history.
Right.
Exactly. And maybe he's trying to do like a Fast and Furious thing.
Funding ISIS to kill him?
Exactly. You know,
I mean, it's innovative.
I'm sure he's tracing all those serial numbers. So when they report them, when they get wherever those guns go, boom, we'll get them.
Right. Because, you know, the Saudis have no track record of ever, you know, funneling those to State Department terrorist organizations.
Well, if they
right.
do, they have to report their serial numbers when they register them.
Yeah. I'm sure.
And they do not know how to scratch it off.
Well, it's in Arabic.
Yeah.
And they don't know if it's smudges Arabic or algebra. What?
Yeah.
You know, algebra. Somebody's doing the killing. Somebody's doing the 9/11ing.
Yeah.
But no, funny. But I mean, that's the. And he's right now doing his first foreign tour.
Yeah.
The president is. And so, I mean, the polar opposite. He goes to NATO today. I don't know if anyone followed this.
Oh,
and
yeah.
gives his speech and says, we're paying for everything. You guys need to start footing some of the bill. Everybody's only supposed to pay 2.4% of their GDP. We end up funding the whole damn thing. None of our partners, treaty-bound partners, are end up footing the bill like we are. That era is over, and Merkel is just like someone shoved a pineapple up her ass. Like, and it's all true.
Well, she always mm-hmm. looks like that because mm-hmm. she's German.
But yeah, she is somebody who would drive a Subaru.
Yeah, Prius.
Yeah, she'd have one of those. She'd have a hybrid Subaru.
And the sad part is everyone listening knows the kind of Prius we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Goose down vests, yeah. You know, has a kayak strapped to the top.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
But, I mean, three cables are off on the top.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're going too fast to fix it.
She has, like, those athletic, those sandals that, or not
Chacos.
Sandals. Well, but they, like, Velcro yeah. and an X
yeah,
go
Chacos.
Around the ankle.
Yeah, she gets the but she doesn't wear them enough to get a tan.
No, she doesn't actually hike. She likes the idea of hiking.
Right, yes.
And golden retrievers. But I mean, so, like, he says this, and I actually like it, because, like, yeah, I'm sick of paying for NATO.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it at their new facility, which looks straight out of, like, Iron Man. Like, it's unbelievable, all glass, modern. And that's all American dollars.
He was like, very nice place you have here. I wonder how much it costs.
I wish I had been here when it was being decided. And once again, everybody's just like, Marconi, or what's the Macron?
The new Frenchie.
The French guy, yeah.
And then he shoved someone out of the way. Did you see that?
It was the Macedonians. I think it was Macedonians.
prime minister.
Yeah.
And hey, he just is like, I'm here.
Forget Trump's America. This is Trump's world. We're all just living in it.
Well, and you know what, though? I'm sick of paying for that stuff. Because that stuff's what drags us into war.
Yeah.
Treaties drag you into war because you have to defend Israel, Europe. I mean, World War One, the loss of, what, 60% of French men under the, between the ages of 20 and 30 died because Archduke Franz Ferdinand was shot, and it brought all of Europe in the dissolution of the Ottoman Empire into war over old treaties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I don't want to have to, you know, go defend the Germans when the French decide they can't throw enough cheese at the Nazis.
Right, yeah.
You know, I don't want that world.
All right, so another interesting fact that kind of ties into all this is the FBI deciding not to turn over to Congress
Jason Chaffetz
a lot of documents. House Oversight Committee Chairman Jason Chaffetz said today that the FBI had decided to withhold documents, including memos, notes, summaries, and recordings requested by his committee in regards to the ongoing Russia probe. This was revealed in a letter sent by Chaffetz to the FBI responding to the agency's decision to withhold documents requested by the committee on May 16, 2017. What does that mean, Greg?
Because they have assigned a special prosecutor, former FBI Director Robert Mueller, appointed under George W. Bush,
right,
and then President Obama kept, to come back in and take the role of special prosecutor for any Russian ties that may exist. And so rather than compromise the fact-finding and documenting process, evidentiary process that he's going to be overseeing, and maybe letting that get leaked out to people on that panel in the House, they have rejected the decision to go ahead and share
right,
intelligence. That has been requested now by House Intelligence and will probably be requested by Senate Intelligence.
There is a little bit of a turf war that is starting to develop between all these different factions. And it's funny to see because it's not partisan.
No.
So
it is very much establishment versus outsider.
Right.
I mean, Conrad Black said it best. Like, they have gone with Robert Mueller. He wanted to appoint Joe Lieberman as the new FBI director. Somebody
right,
who is a John McCain. There was consideration of him being John McCain's running mate. So, like, this is the ultimate insider's insider. Mm-hmm. And that was considered not, nonpartisan enough.
Right.
And Conrad Black actually wrote about it today. Did you see that at all?
I didn't.
I thought he wrote a really interesting piece. Conrad Black said, "The New York Times claim that Trump had upheld funding for the Russian investigation was debunked by the acting FBI director. Comey loyalist and Democrat Andrew McCabe. McCabe also debunked the theory that a special prosecutor was needed, as the FBI had not interfered with and would carry out the investigation scrupulously and thoroughly. Rod Rosenstein debunked the Times Post story that Rosenstein himself had threatened to resign. Despite this, the unimaginably ludicrous Chuck Schumer still demanded a special prosecutor in spite of those two things being debunked. And now, with a foregone conclusion of the ultimate result, as the price for approving any nominee for the FBI director, even if it were Hillary Clinton." So he would demand a special prosecutor, even if Trump picked Hillary Clinton to lead the FBI. Mm. He was not. And so Mueller gets appointed, which cut the Democrats off at the ankles, because here's this guy that is beloved, you know, bipartisanly, deep state beloved, mm-hmm, to come in and refill his former role. And so he said there's no question that he told President Trump that Comey, on the basis of all evidence, Trump was not suspected of wrongdoing in his campaign's relation with the Russian government. Even Dianne Feinstein, a militant Trump opponent, confirms that Comey had said this to her and the Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman Charles Grassley. He said on public record in testimony that Trump was not under investigation, which was either a lie and he committed perjury, or there was no investigation into Trump, one or the other, which means that there would be no memo that right, the New York Times is basing all their stories off of. Right. It has to be either or.
Yeah, the video of Comey saying that he was never pressured came out two weeks after it had appeared, and the press didn't pick it up.
Well, it's like James Clapper when he lied about the NSA.
Right, they're going crazy over the memo, but the memo is 2 months old. It's like, well, this video is 2 weeks old. Let's not get to it.
Okay. Right, okay. And so the same person who rushed before the cameras to convict but excused from charges, Mrs. Clinton, former Director Comey, could express privately the innocence of Mr. Trump to Feinstein and Grassley, but could give no hint of it publicly, even though he knew perfectly well that the continuing connected cloud of Russian collusion allegation seriously impeded the ability of the administration to govern. So he was clearly either lying, committed perjury, or there wasn't an investigation, and so he's purposely trying to undermine them as a political vendetta for being ousted. And then it comes out today, he goes out on almost a mea culpa tour, saying that he was duped into keeping the investigation open on Hillary's emails because very sophisticated Russian hackers, in coordination with Russian government agencies, sent them documents originating from 4chan. That is the reason he reopened the email investigation during the election.
Right.
Trying to get a bunch of paid speaking fees at university colleges because he's so toxic now, the left and the right hate him.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, interesting.
And his sister worked for the Clinton Global Initiative, which means he should have recused himself this entire time.
Yeah.
And
oh, wow.
Yeah. That was conveniently left out.
And let's not forget, he prosecuted my love, my celebrity crush, Martha Stewart.
Ugh. Really?
I'm so into Martha Stewart.
Not a Martha?
No. Isn't she? Oh, wait, never mind.
Didn't know who that
you
was.
That was Rachel Ray?
No, I used to love Rachel Ray. I was confusing Martha Stewart with Paula Deen.
Oh, shit. Oh, damn.
Harry.
Martha's
triggered.
Yeah, sorry, Harry. Paula Deen's the one that cooks everything with butter, like 4 sticks of butter, and is racist, right?
Yes. Yeah.
She was racist in like 1953. And then
she didn't realize that the North won.
Yeah.
Like
her
what?
Appomattox.
Yeah. But Martha Stewart, really, even after all the, what was it, tax evasion? Is that what she did? She was on
insider trading.
Insider trading.
After all of that?
Interesting. And that's how James Comey made his name.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He took her down. That was his case that springboarded him from New York District 9 to the FBI.
And look at all the great things he's doing now, right?
Right. I mean, he lost the election. Somehow he lost the election for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Simultaneously was trying to bring down Donald Trump and is the entire head of the deep state, which is led by Hillary Clinton, who he took down. It's a pretty accomplished gentleman.
Yeah.
Let's jump into our next topic, which is kind of tied to this.
About it like that.
He's basically just trying to run the whole government himself.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And then Paul Manafort, the one that everyone alleged that improperly filed as a foreign agent, he turned over 305 pages of everything they requested to the investigative panel.
Who had a Ukrainian deal. I mean, if you watch Get Me Roger Stone, which I highly recommend on Netflix, it's really interesting. Greg, you have to watch it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love Roger like you.
Yeah.
We love sinister, awful libertarians.
Yeah. I mean, he's something else.
He's Frank Underwood.
But, Paul Manafort, it's hard to watch that documentary and not like partially respect how amoral they are in a certain way, but also like, yeah, they're as dirty as everybody says.
Oh, they absolutely. Everything is as dirty as it gets at the highest levels.
Right. Of course. And these guys are at the highest level. Before I yawn again, I apologize. It's 8:50 PM here. I've been up since 4:30 AM. Woke up, went to the gym because I couldn't fall back asleep. You know, had to get the sick pump on. And then had to go to work. And then, what's wrong, Kat?
I just, like, cracked my knuckles viciously.
Oh, okay.
Greg looked over here.
It was very, like, an elder Greek lady.
Right.
Yeah.
Back when we fought the Turks.
Yeah, back when then, we were enslaved. But, sorry, back to your morning routine.
Had a busy day at work. Then went out to the track, did lots of interviews. Very, very tired. Now we're here. So I apologize. I'm trying not to yawn.
That sounded like the old Greek lady.
I know that you're in your car yawning or at your desk at work.
Speaking a little Yiddish.
But yeah, it's not good. I'm gonna make it though. Thanks to that V8 energy. Listen, if you're not into caffeine drinks but you need a little boost, if you don't like the jet alert, which I recommend with the caffeine pills, get yourself some V8 energy, little caffeine, get you right through a podcast.
Are those pretty good? Like tasty?
I mean, it tastes like V8 juice. But
I like V8.
Some of the other ones taste like fruity, but I like just the straight vegetables.
Or just try crack.
Yes. She wouldn't give me any.
We're not all from Elkhart.
Sorry,
wouldn't give me any of her meth. on a future podcast, I'm considering pot, by the way. We need to have a discussion about that.
I don't think it's a drug, so I think you should try it.
I need something.
I personally am against it because of the lifestyle people adopt when they get into
right.
it.
You don't like hippies.
Well, I don't like people that just lay around.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like I find them boring because they get contemplative, but they're stupid, so they don't really know what they're talking about.
They don't know how to like channel that into
something. They think like basic common sense is this profound discovery into the annals of the universe. Like, whoa, man, have you ever thought like, what if there wasn't government?
I don't think you should talk like Tanner.
That's all on different strands of what you get. There are certain strands that'll get you actually up and moving like coffee does.
Whatever they gave Alex Jones for the 911 episode of Joe Rogan Experience.
I want that.
Yeah, that's,
I don't know how much I can say, but
interdimensional shape-shifting aliens.
Yeah.
So, Seth Rich. Let's get into Seth Rich. Our next topic. Seth Rich, it was murdered on July 10th, 2016, near his affluent neighborhood in Washington, D.C. He was shot in the back with a handgun at 4:18 a.m. While he walked home, and nothing was taken from him. He was transported to a local hospital and was pronounced dead at 5:57 a.m.
On July 22nd, just 12 days after Rich's death and days before the Democratic Party's convention in Philadelphia, WikiLeaks released 20,000 emails from DNC officials, which they claimed had been hacked by Russian hackers. Without any verifiable piece of information. Meanwhile, former senator from Britain to or ambassador from Britain to the Uzbekistan, was it Craig Roberts?
Mm-hmm.
He claimed that he actually met the individual in Washington D.C. who gave him these leaks, since he's affiliated with WikiLeaks. And Julian Assange also said in a interview, I forget who it was with, that he made the. He alluded to the fact that right. it was someone inside.
He would not confirm that it was Rich, though,
right?
Because they never confirm any sources.
Correct. And so, a lot of people, it's really taken on a lot of heat because the private investigator Rich's family hired to get to the bottom of this has been let go by the family. They have sent him a cease and desist letter to quit making so many waves and have hired a Democratic Party crisis consultant as their representative for the family. But Wheeler has continued on, and Fox Baltimore, who then got picked up by Fox National, reported that Dan Wheeler said that Seth Rich was the individual, after reviewing his computer, who sent the emails. He was the leak to WikiLeaks. And Donna Brazile and John Podesta in those emails both mentioned they think that it could have been Rich as one of the individuals who had done so and needed to be made an example of. Mm-hmm. And then he turns up dead.
No correlation.
Dead before the convention, and you know, no mention at the convention for gun violence.
Right.
No use of it at all.
You know, he basically got Bin Laden double tapped walking in his, you know, like towny, high end Capitol Hill neighborhood, probably in seersucker and a blue blazer, you know, going to a local bar which he had been at. And sure enough, he has money on him, wallet, and he gets double tapped in the back of the head.
So back there? So he ran. He was running. Either running.
Or came up behind from him.
Came from behind, yeah.
He got suicided.
And they never. He left the bar, and they never investigated the bar owner.
So Wheeler again, who was Wheeler?
Wheeler, it was the original private investigator hired by Rich's family to get to the bottom of it.
All right, so he's talking to Sean Hannity on Fox News. He said, there was some problems that Seth was having on his job at the DNC right before he was killed. And the person that called the father after I called the police to get information, Donna Brazile, that's the person that Seth was having problems with at the DNC. So connect the dots here. It's all starting to come together.
Donna Brazile's the one who gave the questions for the first debate to... from the Clinton campaign to CNN.
After one round of WikiLeaks, after what's-her-face, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, resigned as the chair of the DNC, Donna Brazile was the one who stepped up as the acting DNC chair for the remainder of the campaign. Mm-hmm. Now, Kim.com plays a part in all of this, and who knows, my read on Kim.com is that he's a little bit like Natalie Anagnos, and that he likes to cause trouble on the internet. But it's the Twitter hacker, Twitter handle for a hacker described as an entrepreneur, innovator, gamer, artist, internet freedom fighter, and father of five. Tell us more about Kim.com, Greg.
So he created Mega Upload, which is an anonymous, it's not anonymous, but you have personal accounts and do file sharing. So it was sort of like Napster 2.0 for international sharing of documents, and sort of like Google Drive for anyone that wanted it, right?
I think it's more like Google Drive than Napster.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it wasn't specific to just one type of file sharing. It was more internal collection for backing up your own files, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, your private backup that you want to share with a bunch of people.
So Multimillionaire creates, you know, a very early version of Google Drive, becomes just obscenely wealthy, gets arrested by the New Zealand government, mm-hmm. lives there for insider trading that is still pending. No date has ever been set. He goes on Twitter, and he's been someone that talked about how he's been an outspoken Snowden proponent, has talked about Assange and, you know, made the case of, you know, why has he gone quiet right before the election? Why was his internet shut off to the Ecuador embassy,
right.
you know, a week out before the election? Mm-hmm. He sort of continues stirring the pot, but he doesn't have as big of name. But so he goes out and says, I knew Seth Rich. I know he was the WikiLeaks source. I was involved. And so this is a guy who has highly advanced knowledge of cryptography and mm-hmm. beating these systems and how to do it on the deep web and these types of things. And so he's been going out and saying that Seth Rich was the leaker and confirming that. And he's also someone that has been right repeatedly on saying when WikiLeaks would be releasing documents on what days during the election and what would be involved and what they'd be revealing.
So why is the New York Times calling this all fake news?
Because he's arrested. Yeah. He's currently, like Assange with the fake rape charges.
Right.
He's facing similar situation in New Zealand for insider trading
okay.
for his company.
Yeah, shadowy past. But he doesn't, you know, and
the shadowy past is that he knows how to use the internet.
Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's a hacker in the correct sense that he is a hero on the internet because of a lot of the different things that he's done. And if someone that has access to, like, a private server to hide something on net, that would be Kim.com.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but I keep seeing major media outlets saying that Seth Rich was not the leaker, he was not murdered, this is all fake news, stop spreading this lie. So, why are we doing this story, Greg?
Because they're not using him saying he's a source. It's like saying that you can't pin anything on Podesta because using WikiLeaks as a first source isn't allowed since it was legally obtained. That's why, like, no investigation can ever happen because of WikiLeaks. That's revealed classified information, therefore illegal to use in a prosecution in the United States or any EU country.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So all of our information basically comes from Kim.com and Wheeler, the private investigator.
Yeah, Wheeler started digging and then kept going. And so then he started digging into he noticed, he went ahead and said, listen, every time I tried to dig further, I was turned away by a high-profile individual within the Democratic Party. And he said, I might as well just tell you who it is. In a press conference, it was Donna Brazile, the same Donna Brazile who had to resign from CNN for giving the campaign questions to,
right.
As acting chair of the DNC to Hillary Clinton. And the thing people have to forget is Seth Rich supported Bernie. People on 4chan hacked into his Reddit account and found it. And so they were able to get in, find his email address, and they went through, like, all of his answers. And he was a Bernie bro and thought it was completely wrong how things were handled, but he got absorbed and got a job offer wanting to have a career in politics. And so he was able to, much like, if you look at it, Bernie Sanders should have been investigated for Russian collusion because he should never have been able to beat Hillary.
Sure.
Non-party member, was he getting advice from Russia and Putin?
Sure.
Right, yeah.
I mean, Jill Stein was sitting at that table with Putin.
Clearly, that allegation was made.
Right.
About Jill Stein, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's the thing is he supported Bernie but ended up working for them. Then he really got upset over according to his Reddit account, the handling of how they did what the Republicans did to Ron Paul, where they just out of nowhere changed the rules to prevent any outsider from ever winning and defeating the status quo person.
Mm-hmm.
And so as because their central storage was so weak, as revealed when Bernie Sanders' campaign had to fire people who had inappropriately accessed Hillary Clinton's database, even though it was supposed to be shared.
Yeah.
You remember that whole fiasco?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He knew some of the loopholes and archived. He was included into tons and tons of emails because he was a prominent rising star in the Democratic Party. And he archived them all, downloaded them in bulk, and then handed them off to that's what Mr. Wheeler says, is that based on a review of his computer, that forensics of his computer, he was the one who gave the all of the WikiLeaks dump about from Podesta and everybody on the Clinton campaign to Julian Assange. Yeah. And that would corroborate with Paul Craig Roberts, the former ambassador for Britain to Uzbekistan, who said he met with the person at a conference in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. And any forensic person going through the email server would notice, like, hey, this one user right here, he bulk downloaded. He downloaded a whole bunch. Because most people just leave the emails on the server. Most people don't download them off.
Right.
So if he downloaded them off, the server would say so.
Got it.
And so Wheeler goes out and says it was former Democratic National Chair, Interim Chairwoman Donna Brazile, who allegedly called the police and the Rich family and demanded to know why a private investigator was snooping into Rich's death. So he knows he was being, she personally called and was trying to figure out why the family hired someone to get to the bottom of it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so Donna Brazile intervened. He goes out and says this in a press conference. He's a veteran homicide detective. He was the one who told Bill O'Reilly about all of the pedogate, like Pizzagate, that was going on, and how it was the homosexual community in Washington, D.C. that ultimately got brought down. And everybody thought O'Reilly was crazy for having this guy on. Mm-hmm. And so at the time, Brazile, who was also a CNN contributor, she was Al Gore's originally court campaign manager. They caught her. They know that she was giving the questions to CNN's head. She was fired by the Clinton, she was reprimanded by CNN and asked to leave, then given the chair, interim chair of the DNC. And so it's very likely this would be who you would send out to handle this type of thing.
Right.
She's a lifelong Clinton. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how she made her bones, and that's why she was given the opportunity to run Gore's campaign.
Sure. Yeah.
So I believe it's fact. Now, they'll say that this guy is a private investigator. He is just going around throwing out wild man Arpaio style allegations.
Of course. He's now been on Sean Hannity, and if you've ever been a guest on Sean Hannity, you're immediately discredited as a loon. You're Jerome Corsi or whatever, you know.
Yeah, so like Juan Williams and Bob Beckel should be discredited.
Sure. All right, well, let's wrap up this episode. We're going to talk in our next episode, we'll just record it right after this, about the illegal searches on Americans, because I think it deserves its own episode. So, final thoughts for this episode, Harry. What are you up to?
Let's see. Besides fatherhood and going back and forth for the hospital thing, right now I'm still working on a little bit on my side project. I've got my first script done for it, but I still haven't set up any of the equipment or the room for it. But that's all I'm going to say for that, because I don't want to say it on camera and something happens, I get too busy for it.
Sure. a promising start.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, and we'll talk more about that. It sounds exciting.
Yeah, because I usually just get nervous when it's myself alone with a microphone in a room.
Sure.
You know, I usually like someone else there. But other than that, no, like I said, keep sending your good vibes. Gunther needs it. She'll take it all in stride, so please keep sending your good vibes.
All right, please do. Kat Anagnos, your final thoughts for this episode.
Well, I would just like to take this time to thank everyone for having me here. It's been a blast. No, I don't know. I feel woke.
Can people follow you? Where would you like?
Yes, follow me on Twitter, on Instagram, at Kat Anagnos. Follow me on Snapchat with that same username. Like I said, I took a step back from politics, but now I'm going to be an upperclassman. I'm breaking out of my shell, so I'm going to be more forceful with the libertarians.
I'm finding out who I am.
I'm probably going to declare my gender by the next episode. We'll see.
Excellent.
I'm really getting into my art.
Which is my gender. Trust me, my gender has been my art for many, many a year. Greg Lenz?
Nope. Sorry this was so much autism, but I feel like it was a good update on the current status of the situations without being too partisan.
All right, I want to thank everybody for listening to this episode. Thank you all so much. Thanks to everybody that donates to this podcast. Thanks to everybody that shares this podcast. Welcome to all the new people. Thank you so much for helping us grow. We can only grow if you share this episode with your friends and family and say, hey, check these guys out. So if you made it this far, then you might be a candidate for sharing on Facebook.
Absolutely, we might allow it.
All right, so thanks. We will talk to you next time. As always, we promise
to do better next time.
Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.